This podcast was brought to you by Spartan Sports. This is The Running Game, a podcast that covers rugby from the ground up. I'm Tim Gilbert. I'm joined by my co-host, Matt Dunning. Matty, how are you?
Mate, I'm well, mate. Nice and safe. Lockdown, can't do much. 10K radius, but I'm safe.
It's not hard with the kids, is it? It's all really, really easy.
Oh, mate, I find myself working from the car in the garage.
Oh, goodness gracious me. It will end. It will end. We've got a huge show on the way today. We've got Wallaroo, Emily Chancellor. She's a real character. And rugby commentator for Clutch TV. He's also a school teacher. It's an extraordinary story. Luke Barry Dunellan. He's on the show too. So, Matt, last week we spoke to Stephen Moore about his debut, and you and Bill Young were heavily involved, of course, because he woke up in the foyer of a hotel. What about your debut for the Wallabies?
Yeah, mate. It was interesting. So I made my debut during the World Cup against a team called Namibia. I can't even say the name properly, but we played against them. We won 142-0. I played 80 minutes and scored zero tries, and I think Morgan Turnui played about 10 and scored two. So it was an interesting debut on the Adelaide Oval. The greatest thing about my debut was it was a day game during the World Cup, so we had plenty of times to have a few beers as a team back in the sheds, and the great Darren Lehman came into our sheds afterwards, and he was pretty charged, big boof. Anyway, we had a few beers with Darren Lehman. Anyway, he came back to our hotel. We had a kangaroo court, and to say the least, I don't want to get Boof in too much trouble. He led the charge and he was best on ground. Apparently, he wasn't in a good way with his wife when he got home later that night. But it was a great experience, you know, to sing the anthem for the first time, to be part of the team. It was just incredible. And, I think everyone remembers their first test. I've got my first test jersey. You get cap.
I don't remember mine.
Everyone who's played one, Tim, you remember your first test. You always remember your first, eh, Tim? They say that. We're in the sheds. You sing the anthem in the middle. Me and John Rowe debuted together. So I'm 7'8" and he's 7'8" because we both started, but I was number one on the team sheet. He's number eight, so I get the number first. So you get your cap engraved with your number in there. Forever I'll be Wallaby 7'8". Sang the anthem, me and John Rowe in the middle, with the team around, wearing your cap. Luckily, my cap sort of fitted. There's been some Wallabies in past days with afros and stuff where the caps look quite funny on. But it's an amazing experience, and it's incredible. And I think something I always remember.
Yeah, absolutely. You always remember your first, and I suppose when you compare it to some of the other firsts, the rugby game lasts a lot longer. Matt, this is The Running Game. We've got a great show on the way. Up next, Wallaroo, Emily Chancellor. Not every day you get the opportunity to talk to a Wallaroo, but today we do. Emily Chancellor, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you on the show, Emily. We're really happy and glad you could be with us. What a great week, couple of weeks ago, the New South Wales women winning the Super W, 4 years in a row undefeated, I believe. How was that victory? Tell us a little about it.
Oh, it was incredible. It was just, Queensland put the first points on the board in the first 5 minutes, coming over with a try, and kind of had us rattled for the first little bit. They were definitely in control of the ball, and then we just found our flow with the rugby ball and played side to side, got some beautiful tries from our wingers, and then the game kind of opened up for us. So incredible to be part of the fourth win in a row for the Waratahs women's. And I guess we're just really grateful that we got to play, you know, being in Coffs Harbour and everything going down with COVID at the moment. We were, you know, at one point we'd got up there and we were told we weren't going to be playing. So really relieved that we got the games in, and, you know, it was kind of a year and a half in the making.
How much notice were you given? I heard you weren't given much notice. Love to hear that story.
So we were told basically the Monday before we were supposed to play or go to Coffs on the Saturday, you're basically in a bubble. You can only go to work because you have to, because you're not paid. And other than that, you can only come to training. Like, don't go to public gyms, don't go to cafes, restaurants. And then on Wednesday morning, they were like, basically, Sydney's about to shut down, get out. Wow. So we all have to quickly have conversations with our bosses and get on the road and get out of Sydney.
Yeah. And did you get the chance to party because it was in Coffs Harbour, or at least celebrate the win?
Well, restrictions still existed in Coffs. We weren't allowed to really leave our hotel or our accommodation other than to play or to a central food shop. But we did manage to find a team room to have a few drinks to celebrate. Yes.
I hear the jersey presentation was pretty memorable before the game. It was quite memorable with your speech presenting a jersey to another player. How'd that go?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I think obviously every team's used to having someone substantial come from outside of your team to present a jersey. And because of the COVID restrictions, we were limited to who could sort of enter our camp. And so our manager, Aaron Morton, organised for us to all present to each other, which was actually, it's a really beautiful way of doing it because you're presenting a jersey to someone that you know really well and you're proud to, you know, play alongside them. So there were a few tears shed on Friday night, but it just makes
I heard there was, yeah.
Bond a little bit stronger.
Yeah, there have been some really unique moments, haven't they? Little trinkets through life that have been positive through this whole COVID thing. How did you get involved with rugby? How did you fall in love with this game?
I grew up absolutely loving watching it. I was at Waratahs games from little toddler with my dad. I used to dream of catching the ball when it was kicked out from a penalty, and dad's membership tickets every year got, you know, slightly further back. I was like, what are you doing, Dad? I'm going to catch the ball one day. I'm going to be asked to play. But he was moving out of the drip line, wanted to have all weather seats. And here I was just watching my dreams fade away. I genuinely just grew up loving watching the game, had no feeling that I was missing out on something because I didn't even know that girls could play it, and got to university and the pathway to gold for sevens program sort of was being pushed in all sports, and I was on scholarship for netball, and my best friend and I from netball at the time were like, it'd be kind of cool to learn how to tackle someone, wouldn't it? Like, why don't we just try? Went along to the trials for the pathway to gold and basically never looked back.
Wow.
Yeah. So thanks, Sevens. You've found my pathway to 15s.
I've heard you compared to David Pocock, which is a massive rap by someone, and they think you're just a phenomenal athlete, meticulous to detail. How do you go about preparing? Because if you're anything like David Pocock, you are a true professional. What detail do you go to, and how does your week look to prepare to perform to the best of your ability?
I'm a bit gobsmacked to be compared to David Pocock. That's amazing. I don't know if I'm like a detailed to preparation kind of person, but I am a big what ifs and questioner. Like I don't like doing a drill or thinking about a scenario without every option being considered. And if I go here, what about if that happens? And, you know, if I miss this tackle, but then I make it around here and I can do this, is that okay? And like, I'm sure I drive coaches mad with my overthinking. But in terms of game preparation, I always like to set a few key goals for the game, a couple of, you know, one in attack, one in defense, one for the team and one for set piece. And I am a bit of a critic of myself. I can't be content with a game until I've watched it back as well. So you play it and then you've got to watch it and then you've got to clip it. And, you know, it's a big process, but I hope it doesn't sound too nutty.
No, not at all. It sounds like a process that works. And look, I had a lot of entertainment looking at your Instagram because I love some of your improvisation, particularly with the COVID last year, because obviously it sort of kept everyone still for a long, long time. But you were doing exercises with your flatmate, with a vacuum cleaner. You had towels off lines. You were doing stuff with milk crates. You were straddling between two brick walls. You had it all going.
We did. We had a lot of fun last COVID trying to be creative at home. We named our little fitness program Tars Fit Shots because the media man at the Waratahs at the time had suggested that we try some like trick shots. And my hooker housemate at the time and myself were like, well, I can't throw a ball into a bucket. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, I'm not going to kick a ball down and hit something and bounce off something. And so we were like, why don't we do Tars Fit Shots? And so We started off with some silly ones and we actually got so much entertainment out of it, we decided that we'd do one a day. And then at about 50, we were like, we better get to 100. So unfortunately, we committed to 100 exercises and it really stretched the mind and the imagination, but it did get me through COVID round one because we laughed so much filming them. The bloopers are hilarious.
Emily, the great thing about the women's game now is like a lot of the not older girls, but the girls who came from playing other sports, getting into rugby. Now you're playing against these young girls now who have virtually played rugby their whole way up. Is that lifting the standard, making it harder for girls who really had a massive, you know, didn't play till they're a bit older because they didn't have an opportunity? Is that lifting the standard, making it harder, or what's that done to the game?
Yeah, I think it's so exciting. You know, I'm playing rugby with girls, so I've been playing for about 8 years now. And I'm playing with 18-year-olds that have been playing for as long as me. And it's just so exciting because you know that the future of rugby for women is just, it's going to become more like the men, because it's not just all these people that have been athletic like myself, come from other sports and have learnt the game on the fly, but you actually have girls who have grown up dealing with a ruck, dealing with a breakdown, tackling. Like the laws of the game are sort of instilled in them. They're just such natural rugby players. It's genuinely super exciting.
What was it like when you first played for the Wallaroos, first played for Australia, having sat there with your dad at Allianz Stadium as seats went back, so he stayed dry, but you thought you were never going to catch it. But what was it like having the badge?
Honestly, that my debut game at ANZ Stadium against the Black Ferns for a double header with the Wallabies and the All Blacks was just out of this world. It was so exciting to be able to play in front of a crowd on a stadium that I thought I would never have a right to stand on or an option to stand on. To be able to run out on a field that I've watched people play on was just huge. Such an honour. It's so exciting to represent your country, but also know that you're competing at the top level. Like, you're one of the best in this country, and that's pretty cool.
And women's rugby has come a long way in the last 5 years. I think the Bill Corp sponsorship is incredible, and I love the fact that people like, you know, Josephine and Tony are supporting. How do you see women's rugby going? Is it going to be long till you know, you'll be able to do this full time like your cricket counterparts? Is that the aim, or what's the aim for the women's game moving forward?
I think ultimately the aim has to be for professionalism. We want equality across the sport. We want equality across all sports. But, you know, in my future of rugby union 15s, I don't necessarily see that the professional game is the reality for us. I kind of like in a progression mindset, ideal situation, you know, like we all have jobs. It's unrealistic for them to be able to turn around and say, oh, well, you know, let's match people's career salaries and get them to play rugby full time. You know, if we go full time, it will be, you know, minimum wage and that will be tough. So I guess being realistic, you'd kind of hope for like a test season. Like if they could give us like, you know, 6 month contracts and, you know, work the way up from there, like kind of like the Mitre 10 Cup kind of concept.
Yeah.
And build that way. I see that being sort of the most realistic option in the next couple of years, but absolutely 5-10 years down the track, women should be professional. If the men's game is professional and Australia supports that, why can't rugby and Australia support women playing at the top of their game too?
Well said. The game of rugby's had its challenges the last few years, particularly in the Southern Hemisphere. Is it the game they still play in heaven, Emily?
Absolutely. I think there's no doubt about it. There's just more people playing it now.
Thanks so much for coming on The Running Game. We'd love to have you back on sometime soon.
I would love to join you again. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Coming up on the show, he's a school teacher who commentates rugby union for Clutch TV. His name is Luke Barry Dunellan. It's a great story. It's time to talk grassroots. And look, the Clutch TV story is a cracking story. It's pretty much emerged out of the pandemic last year, calling suburban games, schoolboy games. And we've got one of their commentators on the show today. He's doing a cracking job. He's also a school teacher himself, Luke Barry Dunellan. How are you?
Oh, great. Thanks, Tim. It's good to be here.
G'day, Luke. Thanks for coming on the show, mate. Great to have you here. And look, Clutch TV are no bigger supporter than grassroots rugby. Just tell us a bit about Clutch and how they support and cover rugby to grassroots level.
So Clutch came onto the scene early last year, and essentially the mission for Clutch is it exists to help all athletes, teams and clubs achieve ultimate success by providing exposure and insights previously limited to the absolute elite. So what that means is, obviously, you can only watch the elite play via streaming, whether you watch KO or you watch, you know, free-to-air TV, and you can see the wonderful spectacle that sport is. This is giving, I suppose, more engagement to the grassroots level. So ranging from second-grade Colin Card Shield in the New South Wales or Sydney rugby competition, all through suburban rugby union, through women's rugby competitions, all through other sports, even AFL, going into Cairns and Canberra. It's giving an opportunity for younger people and people playing at that grassroots to showcase their skills and, as far as, get the opportunity to have their game streamed and people can watch them from all angles, and you never know what opportunities can come from it. So it's a pretty cool concept.
Absolutely. Now, I saw the Clutch TV guys out at the state championships for the under-12s where my son was playing, and it made me wonder, because like, I had seen it before, who owns it? And talk us through the way that money is made. Obviously, there's some subscriptions involved.
So it's run, our founder is Gus Seaback there, and at the moment, well, I suppose in 2020, it was an opportunity for them to get out into the market as well and streamed a number of sports and put them through on Facebook. And there are, I think, other organisations might come to them in terms of an organising a stream and having an arrangement there. But with the rugby, there's been a commitment from the suburban rugby clubs, as well as a sponsor there, 4 and 20, and the New South Wales Rugby Union, to sort of create New South Wales Rugby TV. So those games can be watched just paying like a monthly fee or an annual subscription fee as well, which is, again, incredible value to see some great rugby.
So, Luke, you're calling the games on Clutch TV. What's your Clutch experience? What's a weekend look like for you with Clutch TV and rugby?
So a weekend for me calling for Clutch, it's probably similar, you know, to yourself, Tim, and years gone by, you know, calling any sort of sport. It probably takes a little bit of time during the week and reaching out to a suburban rugby club, speaking to maybe their first grade manager or their president, getting some insight on the players, because like any good production, it's good to have it's a bit of extra knowledge, and you can add that extra degree of depth to the coverage. So I'll speak with team managers about the players, get some insight around the club. I like to get to the ground, I'd say around 11 o'clock. And that's the beauty of suburban rugby, is that it's a whole day event where you've got fifth grade playing at 10 to 10, or the weekend warriors running out and bashing each other. I love getting the feel, being around the club, getting what it's like in and around the ground. I'll prepare. I'll go see those team managers, get those names clear, making sure, because I think it's also respectful to the players out there, get their names said properly, and it also makes for a better production. Then come 1:30, we'll do our pre-record, and then straight into the main game at 3:15.
Yeah, commentary. I really loved doing the commentary over the years in a variety of sports, and I don't know whether it was my strong suit, but I had the opportunity to call first grade and grassroots, and I found that the schoolboy matches weren't the easiest to call because they're not household names. And I'd imagine in some of the games you call, not all the names are Smith.
No, not at all. There's quite an array of names, but I think that's what is great about rugby, is the connections that it has in the game. And that's the strength I believe it has all over other sports, is the way that there's a place for everyone to play, and it brings a lot of people together, and you can play, you know, a variety of levels. As I've known Matt has said to me before, that's the beauty of it, whether you're a weekend warrior wanting to play fifth grade, or whether you can, I suppose, looking to take that next step and, you know, training two or three times a week and playing first grade, you can do it. Probably the hardest names to say, again, you look at your Fijian community and what wonderful players they are, but it does matter when you get it right. And I think having the education to say those names correctly, I know one of the great wingers at the moment for the Blue Mountains is their number 11, Sike Langekoro. And again, phonetically, it's a tricky one to pronounce, but getting it right, as I said, means a lot to the player.
And the quality of football you're showing, how do you compare Subbies football these days? Look, Subbies has changed massively. We've spoken about it before, Luke. So Subbies is purely amateur now. It was a decision made a couple of years ago, which I think is for the better of the games. You have the best players are playing Shoot Shield, and then obviously Subbies is players who are doing it amateur. How have you seen that change the game, be amateur, and how's the quality of the football you're producing, that's being produced, you're watching?
So the game changed in 2015, going to an amateur status, and for people who aren't familiar with what that is, and our players cannot get paid, as well just need to be committing to the club, you know, for the love of the game, which is a fantastic step forward for the New South Wales Suburban Rugby Union. But I think the level, again, it probably took a hit because you aren't getting as many of those high-level guys coming down to play, the guys who might have been on the peripherals and, you know, played first grade and second grade and might not be cracking the top there and coming down. But what I find now is that suburban rugby, the best thing about it, it's high emotion and high energy in that first grade competition. They give everything to each other. They're enthusiastic. It's very tribal, I think, if not more than the Shoot Shield. I think that's the best thing about the product is they rip and tear. They're very passionate about their home team. Switching clubs in suburban rugby is blasphemy. You wouldn't go anywhere near it. You'd get your head ripped off. And I know there was guys over the years who've gone from my club, St. Pat's, who went to Drummoyne, and again they were copying some treatment of the, you know, the bottom of a ruck. But that's what makes it great. And I think the standard is great, and you can see that through the players how much they love playing for it. And again, they go for it. They're not particularly overcoached. And I think as much as you think, well, maybe it's not the best quality, it's just so great to watch.
Now, you keep a very busy life. We mentioned at the start you're a school teacher, a commentating school teacher. So I know how much work goes into looking after school kids beyond the hours at school. Plus, you've got to prepare for rugby. It's a busy, busy life. And look, when you look at the numbers for those GPS games last year for Clutch TV, they were through the roof.
Yeah, it was a big uptake from all parties, really, whether it be the schools themselves. You had obviously parents tuning in, you know, and with the GPS schools, you obviously have Borders, and they have parents who around New South Wales or even in Queensland as well watching their sons playing or daughters, and obviously the students getting behind it as well. So it was very successful broadcasting the New South Wales Schoolboy Championships as well, which was excellent. And looking forward, you know, to the New South Wales Country Championships, both in, you know, the juniors and the seniors, incredibly popular with that, because again, it's another way to watch rugby that otherwise wouldn't be telecast or broadcast, and it's been nothing short of fantastic. And it also engages old boys from those GPS schools. That's the beauty of rugby. It's a great networking game, and old boys have now had the opportunity to tune in and watch their old school play, which is pretty cool.
So, Luke, on a Friday afternoon in your classroom, if I'm a student of yours, can I expect to watch a movie because you're obviously preparing for the weekend? Like, is that what has to happen? Like, I had some school teachers that every Friday afternoon, I don't know what they did, but I always got to watch a movie with them. Is that how it rolls for you at your school or not?
Parramatta Maris, and again, I better give them a good rap, you know, for all that they're listening. It's a tremendous school, very much an academic school now. The way it's shifted over the last, I'd say, 15 years. But so I think maybe, you know, watching a movie in replace of commentary preparation would probably be frowned upon. But the kids at the moment, I'm a year 11 coordinator, so I look after obviously all these 16, 17-year-old boys, and they've caught a whiff that I'm a commentator, and they sort of lap it up and they love it now as well. So I even use it to my advantage sometimes as well, and like to talk about it, and they absolutely love it and eat it all up.
Yeah, Mighty Morris Brothers Parramatta, the old green and gold. I was a Patrician Brothers Fairfield, blue and blue. Back in those days, it was all about rugby league. But look, I love the story. I just love the story that you'll have the opportunity to propagate this career in commentary with Clutch TV. You're also a school teacher, and it's pretty much emerged out of the pandemic. We've seen a lot of grim, difficult things happen through the pandemic, and we all know that. We're going through a tough time at the moment, but here's one of the silver linings.
Oh, well and truly, it's been... I know, speaking from my personal perspective, it's been a sensational opportunity to commentate something with vision as well in a streaming service, because unfortunately in our landscape, a lot of those, I suppose, broadcasts and televised deals are all pretty wrapped up, and, you know, for good reason as well. There's lots of money in it, and it's obviously incredibly lucrative. But Clutch seeing this opportunity to sort of give community sport some vision and a voice has been nothing short of tremendous, and it's a great way, like I was saying to you before we went on air, getting the opportunity to call the Blowers Cup in the Central West competition there. One, another wonderful rugby competition between the Orange Emus and the Forbes Platypi, which is a great. And the country rugby is just one, again, very similar to suburban rugby. The energy and the effort, again, they're very proud of where they come from and they give it all on the weekend. And that, engaging their fans throughout New South Wales country is also cool. And we've got some great feedback from them.
Well, Luke, so good to have you on the show. Great to hear all this. My only concern with Clutch TV from an old tragic point is that the great thing I used to love about suburban rugby was some of the indiscretions that you used to get away with. Now, I imagine now with Clutch, they're not happening. Is that the way it is?
Definitely it is. I was having a conversation with a few coaches. We were doing some promotion about the game, about how some of the clubs were going at the moment, and they are using Clutch to their advantage to speak with the referees and also around maybe players getting sighted. So it definitely creates a new dimension to the suburban rugby.
So it's even cleaning up some of his games. That's all right. Thanks for being on the show, Luke. Really enjoyed your insight, and I think everyone will love listening to it. Thanks, mate.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's it for The Running Game this week. We'll be with you every week with more rugby chat and great interviews. Follow us on your favourite podcast app. Thank you to today's guests, Emily Chancellor and Luke Barry Dunellan. Thanks to our sponsor, Spartan Sports. And, of course, thank you to our wonderful producer, Mr. Dan McHugh. See you next week, Matty.
Great show, Timmy. Can't wait. See you, mate. Stay safe in lockdown.